Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Molly, for your ministry of music this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jonah. We've been talking through the book of Jonah, and I've said it's God's relentless grace, mercy, and love towards sinners. God's relentless grace, mercy, and love towards sinners. The book of Jonah is so often known just for its one story of Jonah and the whale, Jonah and the large fish. But there's so much more in the book, and this morning we're going to be talking about that as well. I don't know if you've ever had times in your life where you thought you were going to die. I've had a couple of those times in my life. When I was 10 years old, I was riding in the back of a pickup truck, and the brakes went out in the pickup truck. I was going around a curve. My dad had an older truck, and he didn't know that was going to happen. Probably wouldn't have let me ride in the back if he had. Brakes went out at that time, and I went flying out of the back of the truck at about 40 miles an hour. I don't know that anything went through my mind at that time, but my parents thought I had died because I was laying on the side of the road. I don't remember much except for later that day. I don't even remember the experience. I think God's kind of blocked that out. I remember later that day waking up in the hospital, and there had been all sorts of stuff that had happened throughout the day, that details that I now know only because people have told me them. There was another instance. I was working at my church in Michigan, and we were working off of a stage much like this, but there were beams that go across, and we had a ladder going up. I was working on the lighting system up there, and the extension ladder was going up to the beam, and I was up there working on the lights, and I just happened to notice that the ladder was going down. And much like this, when you're up close to the peak and the height up there, if the ladder were to fall down, I had a moment of terror. I thought, I don't know what's going to happen here, but surely I could die. And so I froze, and then I screamed, "Help!" And they didn't know what was going on. They were all off eating pizza somewhere. Finally, I was like, "The ladder's slipping." They ran up. Well, we'd set it up on a tarp. It was our own fault. The tarp was underneath, and so it just started slipping out. Lesson learned, don't do that. But it was another time in my life that I thought I could possibly die. We've talked through most of the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Jonah has been fleeing from God, and he finds that he's journeying, trying to get as far away from God, and he's on a ship. And he gets out into the water, and this huge storm comes up, and God is continually putting things in his path to stop him from fleeing God's presence. We talked last week about you're not able to flee God's presence. Finally, the sailors say, "What should we do to Jonah?" And Jonah's like, "Well, you should just throw me overboard." And the sailors are like, "We don't want to do that." So the text, the Bible tells us that they rowed as hard as they could, but they could not go against this storm that was literally walking against them. It was literally pushing against their boat. They could not do anything to try to combat this storm. And so finally they said, "God, we don't want to do this. But it looks like the only option, and he's your prophet. He's telling us to do it, so we're going to do it." So they threw Jonah overboard, and that's where we left off last week. Jonah's at a spot where he believes God's just going to kill him. It's somewhat suspenseful, other than most of us know the book of Jonah and how things turn out. But if you were reading this for the first time, there'd be a moment of suspense. If we stopped last week and I didn't continue on and you didn't have Bibles to read, you would have said, "Well, what happens? He's being thrown overboard. This is a huge storm, and we know the storm calmed down, and these sailors, in essence, are saved because they make vows to God, a promise to Him. That's where we left off last week. Jonah was kind of in the midst of the air falling into the water. Verse 17 of Jonah chapter 1, if you have your Bibles again, this we'll read starting in verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Short little verse. It helps us understand Jonah's circumstances. There are some circumstances that Jonah has put himself in because he's trying to flee from the presence of God, and Jonah's circumstances are not good right now. I think sometimes in the Bible when we read something so short, we don't think about the literalness of what that would be like for Jonah. I've been reading a book to go along with part of this series, and it's based off of the book of Jonah. But he adds in a lot of historical stuff and reality to the situation. I want to read you a portion of that this morning to have, just give us a glimpse of what it might, emphasize might, have been like for Jonah in the belly of the fish. This is what the author, Jimmy Long, writes. There was little room to move. It was dark and cold and slimy and hard to breathe. Jonah's anxiety rose as he wondered what had become of him. He coughed and nearly gagged before regaining his composure. He tried to move his hands in the confined space, attempting to discover some clue as to where he was and what had happened to him. He felt something around him like wet leather, soft but strong. He moved his fingers a few inches and felt what seemed to be a pole. Several inches over, he felt another. With more exploration, he found that these poles curved as they went upward, and they were spaced closely together with the wet leather between them and covering them. He tried to calm himself and listen intently to his surroundings. He recognized a sound. It was all too familiar. It was the sound of water against the boat's hull. How is that possible? He vividly remembers the events of the past few hours, the storm's ceaseless fury, the desperation of the sailors, and his short passage from the deck of the ship to the dark waters. Was he still somehow on board the boat? Had the storm itself been yet another nightmare? But no, there was another sound. A steady thumping sound. Was it drums? Was it oars? His mind raced to make sense of this puzzle. An overwhelming sense of panic began to well up within Jonah. He struggled against his confinement to no avail. After minutes of fruitless fighting, he once again resolved to figure out what was going on. He felt his firm but slimy surroundings. Yet again, he noted the smell of something rotten. Listen to the rhythmic thumping somewhere just beyond his reach, and sensed a movement as if he were in something alive. Something alive? Alive? No. His mind reeled, and then it all became clear. A fish. Could it be? Have I been eaten by some great fish? Jonah pounded on the wet surfaces around him. He screamed. He tried to move himself forward to the fish's mouth, but was unsure as to whether he was facing the mouth or the tail. He became still. Again, he tried to calm himself, trying to breathe slowly. Why am I not dead? He thought, his mind racing. Why is the Lord preserving me? What kind of fool am I to think I could somehow run from the Almighty? He will yet have his way. Jonah closed his eyes, and he wept bitterly for all that he had lost. Sometimes in the Bible, we read through these stories and we tell them to children that Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights, and you don't think about what that would have actually been like. We see these pictures of the whale, Jonah just kind of sitting in there with a nice campfire. Pretty sure Jonah didn't have a campfire. It was dark. It was slimy. Jonah's circumstances were a direct result of God's intervention. The biblical text tells us that God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. It's interesting, in contrast to Jonah, who is not listening to God, we're told about a storm that God sends. God directs the weather like that, and the weather listens. God appoints a fish, and it listens. God tells Jonah, nope, doesn't listen. Even though Jonah was trying to escape, trying to flee from God's presence, God still put him in circumstances that would lead him back to God. God placed Jonah inside a whale, and he knew, okay, going to give Jonah another chance here. Jonah, you don't know what's going to happen. You say, just throw me over the boat. Maybe I'll just die. But Jonah is rescued by God in order that God can direct Jonah back to what he has called him to do. As we've read through the book of Jonah, God talks to Jonah. God gives him a message. He speaks to him and says, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh. But Jonah is silent. Jonah runs. The sailors come to Jonah and say, plead to your God that he would stop this storm. And Jonah is silent to God. Jonah talks to the sailors, but Jonah is silent. Finally, we get to chapter 2, and Jonah is going to finally talk to God. This is Jonah's prayer. Starting in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying this, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, or the grave, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever, yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah finally prays to God. This is a psalm. We think of psalms, the book of psalms or songs. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. You would have thought Jonah would have written a psalm of repentance, but he writes a psalm of thanksgiving to thank God for saving him. To thank God for saving him from the waves, from the storm, from drowning. There are two times when Jonah prays in the book of Jonah. This time when he's sad. Chapter 4 when he's mad. Talk more about chapter 4 in a couple weeks. There's some things I think we need to pull out of this text. I talked to you about the word call. Chapter 1, verse 2, God's message to Jonah was, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. Verse 6, so the captain came to him and said, what do you mean, sleeper, arise? Call out to your God. Finally, chapter 2, verse 1, I called out to the Lord. What did it take Jonah to get to this point? What did it take for Jonah to finally have that conversation with God that he'd been needing to have? We think about 3 days in the belly of a fish, but that's not where Jonah's journey started. Jonah's journey started inland. He had to walk to the coast, a few days' journey. He had to hire a ship, maybe a day there. He had to get on the ship and travel. I don't know, maybe they were a day into their journey. I don't know how far they got. You ever think about this? It took 3 days for the whale to get back from where it was back to shore. I don't think it was just doing laps out there. They may be 3 days' journey into this. There could have been a week that had gone by that Jonah hadn't talked to God whatsoever. It took God placing Jonah not only in the water, but inside the belly of a fish in order for Jonah to have communication with God. In order for Jonah to have a conversation with him. It took great distress for Jonah to get back into having that relationship with God. Verse 2, it says, out of my distress I called out to God. Those moments when you're going through something, we have a tendency to turn to God quicker. Those moments when you're facing something big, when you're facing a life circumstances or a loved one who is sick or a death in the family, all of a sudden it takes that distress to turn us to God. I want to point out something else inside this text that kind of pulled at me this week. Verse 3. For you cast me into the deep. Who is Jonah talking to here? Jonah's talking to God. Who is he saying put him in the deep? God. Verse 3. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away. Whose choice was it to get on the boat? It was Jonah's choice to get on the boat. It was Jonah's choice to flee God. And yet he says, you cast me into the deep. God, it's your fault. How often when we get into these distressing circumstances do we say, God, why are you doing this? When there's a greater reality of why am I doing this? Why did I put myself in this place in the first place? Why did I flee the God of heaven and sea and land in a boat? Jonah, it's like there's some outside, it's like he thinks that there's some outside force that's pushing him away from God when in reality it was his decision to turn and disobey God. Jonah believes he's going to drown here. There's language in here. The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. And I think about seaweed and just getting wrapped around and not being able to escape it. And the language, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. He's talking about death there. Basically, the door's getting shut to death and he's not able to escape. When my life was fading away, when I was almost dead, I remembered the Lord. Well, it took you long enough, Jonah. It took you long enough to remember the Lord. You could have done that back in chapter 1, verse 3. Would have saved you a whole lot of hassle. Verse 9, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you, and what I have vowed, I will pay. What is Jonah saying there? He's saying, God, I'm going to follow what you called me to do. I'm going to turn, even though I'm going to do it reluctantly because I still don't want to go, but I've seen what you put me through, so now I'm going to go anyways. But the vow of being a prophet, I'm going to pay that. I'm going to make that commitment. It's what I'm going to do. And finally, he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. This is a psalm of thanksgiving, and on our sign out there, Psalm 136, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The end of that verse is, for his love endures forever. If you read through the psalm, it's, for God is great, his love endures forever. For God is, his love endures forever. He is the God who, his love endures forever. God's love endures even in the midst of Jonah's running away. God's love endures even in the midst of our disobedience. Even in the midst of Jonah's selfishness, thinking that it was God's fault for all of this, God's love still endures. And it is only God who can save. It is only God who can save. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah's circumstances led him to pray and to stop running. The greater our despair, the more we need prayer. The greater our despair, the more we need prayer. The greater situations that we face in life, the more we need to turn to God. Reading our final verse this morning, verse 10, is the outcome. Oh, I was going to mention this too. Footprints in the Sand. How many of you know the poem Footprints in the Sand? Many of you have seen that. Some of you have it. I'm not going to try to read it all this morning, but in essence, it ends like this. My child, I never left you. Those places with one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. That's in essence what it ends like. I like the funny version. That long groove over there is when I dragged you for a while. That's kind of what Jonah's going into now. He's doing this reluctantly. He's saying, I'm going to follow God, but I'm going to follow God. And God might have to drag me along a little bit. God might have to put me in a fish and finally get me back to shore for me to agree that I'm going to follow him. We come to Jonah's outcome, chapter 2, verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. I want to read one more section from this book. After his prayer, after what we just read, his prayer, Jonah listened. Would he once more hear the word of the Lord? Would God speak mercy or judgment? All was quiet, disturbingly so. Fear began to creep into Jonah's heart. Had the Lord abandoned him at last? As he waited, the fear became a consuming terror, and no matter what awaited him in the waters, Jonah knew he had to free himself. He kicked hard against the fish's ribs, clawed at the slick, wet walls that imprisoned him, but there was no change. Jonah gulped at the thin air, and he knew he could not continue much longer before exhaustion set in. As he slowed to take a deep breath and try again, he heard what he had only compared to a deep moan, and then felt a hard bump. The slick walls around Jonah began to move erratically. Jonah felt a fish start to convulse. The jerking flesh pressed in on Jonah, pushing hard against his legs. The pain of his legs being pressed together brought a muffled scream from his throat. He tried hard to relax and to still himself, not knowing what would happen next. The spasms pressed Jonah forward, freeing his legs but bending his neck at an awkward angle. At that moment, Jonah saw it, something he had not seen in days. It was light, brilliant, almost blinding light. Jonah pulled an arm free and reached for the light just as he felt the spasm pushing him towards it. Jonah slid out of the fish's mouth into the surf. He was too weak to swim. Was he set free from his imprisonment only to drown? As he tumbled and twisted with the waves, his grasping hands found sand. Working his feet downward, he gained enough strength to push upward. Air! Air! Jonah took huge gulps of air. A wave caught him and pushed him forward into shallow water. His fingers dug into the sand as he crawled. He slowly pushed himself forward towards an outcropping of rocks that he could see ahead, gulping deep breaths of fresh air. His hands were pale. They were covered in a slimy film. His robe was ripped and tattered. Jonah grasped one of the rocks and he held tightly onto it. Pushing himself towards the beach, he was shaky and weak. Jonah tried to stand, but he found he simply could not. He let the waves push him forward into the ever shallower water until he finally collapsed in the sand. He was free, free, the word repeated in his head, though he could barely believe it. In spite of all that had happened, God had delivered him. God had delivered him from the grave. God had delivered him from the pit. In spite of Jonah's best efforts, he could not escape God. In spite of his best efforts, Jonah couldn't save himself. It was at God's word, God called the fish to get Jonah. God told the fish, the word of the Lord came to the fish and said, "All right, it's time. Spit him out." Jonah couldn't save himself. It was only at God's word that he could be saved. I think there's several lessons that we can learn this morning from this text. First one is troubles can come from disobedience. If you're fleeing from God or if you're disobeying what his word says, troubles can come. That doesn't mean that the trouble is caused by your disobedience. In Jonah's case, it does. Not all trouble comes from our disobedience. We live in a fallen world where there are going to be times of trouble. The disciples came up to a man who was born blind, and they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents? Whose fault was it?" And Jesus said at that time, he said, "Well, it was so that the glory of God might be shown." There are events we go through that are just so the glory of God might be shown. But there are times when the things we face were made because of our own choice that we made. Troubles have a greater purpose as well. I just talked about that. That sometimes the greater purpose is to show God's glory in the midst of what we're going through. Remember, God is never far from us. Especially in the midst of the storm, especially in the midst of our distress, our troubles, he's always pursuing us. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, you are with me." Psalm 23. "Even though I walk through the midst of the valley of the shadow of death," thinking of Jonah, that he thought he was going down to the grave and he was dying, "even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because God is right there beside me." God is never far from us, even when we're running from him. God is sovereign over all. God is sovereign over his creation. He's sovereign over a storm. He's sovereign over the fish. We'll see later in chapter 4 that he's sovereign over some other things. God listens to prayer. Very important. God listens to the prayers of sinners. That's all of us in the room, by the way. Not just Jonah and his disobedience, but how many of us are disobeying God in things in our life? That's all of us. God listens to the prayers of sinners. And he chooses to save and call sinners out of their sinfulness to a greater life. God listens to those prayers. Another huge lesson is God is patient and compassionate. God is patient in our disobedience. God is patient with us. God is a patient and compassionate God. God receives all of the glory. Jonah didn't know it, but there were some sailors that had just gotten saved. There was a little ship revival going on. Glory was given to God. Jonah didn't know the outcome of what was going to happen while he was in the fish. He was thankful that God had chosen to save him. But the glory was given to God in Jonah's obedience. God receives the glory out of these circumstances in our lives. Finally, salvation should lead to thanksgiving. How many of us God has called out of that sinfulness because of what his son did for us on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, the literal bad things that we do? God paid the penalty for that. The Bible tells us the penalty is death. But Jesus came and paid that penalty so that we could have everlasting life. Everlasting life with him. While we'll still face the consequences of a physical death, there will be an eternal life. That should lead us to thanksgiving for what God has done on our behalf. So thinking about Harvest Sunday and being thankful for what God has done, as Jack was talking about, someday God is going to come back and he's going to take all those with him who have believed in him, and it's going to be a great harvest day. There will be a celebration. We can look forward to that hope, forward to that day when we will be with him. And that should bring us thanksgiving. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word that guides us and leads us in how we are to live our lives. God, help us to live in such a way that honors you and follows you and obeys you. God, when we get in these circumstances, help us to realize we need to step away from the troubles we get ourselves into. God, that these circumstances at times that feel harsh, that they are your leading to help us come back to you. God, I pray that we would, through our actions, through our words, through our lives, bring you honor and glory and praise. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.